Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, welcome to Love on the Weekend, part 3. It's the conclusion of our series, and hope you've been enjoying it. And it's, I believe today's message that I have to share is one of the most important relationship messages, whether you are single or you've been married for 30 years. This message has the ability to give you clarity to know what season you're in and what you should be working on and responding to build healthy relationships in your life. So I encourage you, lean in with me this morning. The more you help me preach, the shorter I'll go. Hey, that's kind of offensive, okay? I thought you wanted me to go longer. But anyway, like we've been saying, lots of exciting news around our church. And on April 7th, we are going to 4 services because it's just packed in here. And that's for a short time. And the following weekend, after this weekend, we're starting a series on vision for 3 weeks. We've got so much to unpack. It's going to take 3 weekends to really be able to communicate all the changes that are coming. But God is doing some amazing things, and we're going to continue to make room. But we've got a time between when we're in this building and in a new building where we got to keep on making room for God to do what God wants to do. So we're going to have 4 services. So starting on April 7th, we will be at 9 o'clock, 10:30, 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. And so I need everybody to rally around. Let's not just launch a service. Let's bring our friends. Let's fill the space that we're creating, and let's create some great momentum as we go into Easter and so many great things. Well, if you got your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's crew week, everybody. It's going to be an awesome week, and what a better crew message than this one to be able to talk around the table about. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is the theme verse for the series. There's 3 things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, things that are eternal is love. It's love. And that's what we've been looking at. How do we make love last beyond the weekend? Because it's an eternal thing. And I want to read you one more verse that gives us a full description of what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-8. And here's what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I think love is one of those words in our society that is overused and understood. Understood. That it's just kind of used, and I think it's lost its meaning. And today I want to breathe some life on the meaning of love. And that's why I want to talk to you today around this topic or this thought: the love process. The love process. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are love. And you're the best model, the best example that we have of what love looks like. So God, help us to see Jesus today. May we become more like him. God, may we find hope for our future and hope and love in our relationships, Lord. And God, we thank you today for the glowing orb that's in the sky called the sun. Lord, it's been a while, but it's still there, and we're thankful it's shining today, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if we love Jesus in this house, can we put our hands together for him? Come on. So I've got a little question for you today. Have you ever been so excited about the outcome of a thing that you didn't pay attention to the process as much as you should have? Like, you were just so excited to get over the finish line, to get to the end result, that there were some details along the journey that you missed, that you didn't pay attention to. I've had that. I think it's the inclination of all of us. Actually, in sales, they actually have a term for it. It's called deal heat, that all of a sudden you get in a deal and people will make decisions that aren't even wise because they're caught up in the momentum of just trying to get across the finish line. I think it's part of being a human, and I've had a few of these experiences, and I've had one over the last month. I've been searching. I've looked at 19,000 buildings in the city of Omaha. I've been in good buildings. I've been in dilapidated buildings. I've been in buildings way over our budget. I've looked at building after building after building, and I was almost spit not finding something that I thought was like really, really great for our church. And the other day I was driving, somebody called me, so I pulled off the road because I had to look some stuff up on my phone. And after I hung up, I honestly just felt like it was the Holy Spirit just said, hey, look at LoopNet. That's like where you find commercial real estate. I pulled up the app and I dropped it. And right where the parking lot, right next to where I was parking, the building right here was for lease. And I looked over at it. I said, that's a good looking building. It even looks like it has like a mini gymnasium or something in the back there. And so I looked it up and I looked at the price point and I was like, this is brilliant. And so I go into like overdrive, right? Call the real estate agent. I'm in there that day to look at it. I'm walking around this building and man, I'm just like, this is perfect. It used to be a daycare center. It's got this great little built-in lobby, a bunch of office space. And then it has this big room. It was like it was built for having church meetings in. Big high ceilings. It's really nice. It's got a loading dock in the back. So when we're portable, we can, I just had all the things that I was looking for. And set for it was a daycare. It's bright fluorescent pink all over the thing. You know what I mean? We're gonna get in there. That's what Vision Builders Offering's all about. And we're gonna repaint that bad boy and it's gonna look awesome. But it used to be a daycare center, and the daycare center had to build a storm shelter in that big room. So there's this big room, and then the corner of it's like this storm shelter, okay? Now, when I'm walking through it, I had building inspectors come and inspect it, but they're looking for problems, like mechanical, there's problems with the plumbing. They're not trying to explain to me the infrastructure of the building. And so I asked the real estate agent, I said, hey, we're gonna wanna rip that out. And he goes, oh, it's no big deal. It's just cinder blocks. You just get some guys in here. You got all kinds of dudes. They'll have a blast ripping it down. And I'm like, yeah, my dad works construction. He goes, it could be reinforced. We probably should pay attention to that. And me being the eternal optimist, I'm like, nah. Do you know how many guys we have around the church? Like, we will sledgehammer, jackhammer, kung fu punch that wall right down. You know, we will Jericho that bad boy. And so we get through, I sign the paperwork, it's our building now, and we're in there. And so I'm in there yesterday with my dad looking through some of the ceiling tiles, and we get inside this storm shelter. And so I took a sledgehammer and I go, boom, and it just bounced back and almost hit me. I'm like, well, that's pretty sturdy. And then we remove some of the ceiling tiles. This thing is Fort Knox. It's reinforced. It's going to come down in Jesus' name, okay? We're going to get it down. It's just going to be a little bit more work and a little bit more pain than I thought it was going to be. But this thing is reinforced concrete, you know what I mean? And so I call a couple friends and they're like, oh, we'll get that down. No problem, Pastor. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're confident. Here we go. And I realized that like somewhere along the journey, I got so excited about the outcome that I'm didn't quite pay attention to a couple details. And those details aren't that big of a deal, and they're not gonna be, you know, the end of the world. But you know what I found is that sometimes we get so excited about the end result that we don't pay attention to some big details. We don't pay attention to the details because we're excited about the end result. We're not excited about the process. Like, when's the last time somebody was just like, man, I'm just in love with the process. Like, I'm just in love with the process. If we're all honest, none of us are really in love with the process of change. We just want the change. And what I've found in my life is that more often than not, God is a God of process. God wants to bless us. He's a God of destiny, of forward thinking, of future, of hope. And he has a destination. He has a destiny out in front of us. But you know what he's really interested in? The process of taking you from being the man or the woman of God that you are now. And every step of the way, step one, step two, he is building, shaping, and leading you so that what? When you get from here to here, you can actually carry what he wants to put on your life. See, I think some of us are praying for things, honestly, if God gave them to us right now, they would probably end up ruining our lives. I think some of us are praying for the right thing. It's just not the right time. Because God is really interested in you becoming the right person rather than just doing the right things. And God is a God of process. You look at every great man of God in the Bible and you will see a development process attached to his life. Joseph. This guy is favored. He's a man of dreams. He goes from being a dreamer to a pit, from a pit to a prison, from a prison to a prince. That's God's process, is changing us into the man or woman of God that he wants us to be. How about David? Forgotten, a lonely shepherd on the backside of the mountain, from there to being anointed king by the prophet Samuel, from there to serving in the king's courts, from there being persecuted by the man he's supposed to serve for 15 years of his life on the run, while God stripped him down to be a man after his own heart. This is the process, and we're in love with the destination, but we're not really in love with the process. We're in love with love. We're just in love with love. We're not in love with the process that God has put in place that love can last, that love can move beyond the weekend. Here's the simple fact. Skipping the process will always lead to future pain. Skipping the process will always lead to future pain. See, God uses the pain to what? Help us understand that there's some things he's not gonna allow us to skip. I find story and story after story in the Bible, specifically the children of Israel, where they were on a 7-day journey to their destination. And because of the processes of God, wandered in a desert for 40 years. See, we can try to shuck, we can try to move, but when God puts a process in place, you either embrace it, or you, what, experience the pain of not really working through it. And I think God wants us to understand that there is a process that he's put in place that develops love beyond the weekend. See, I think we try to blow through step 1, 2, and 3 and get to the end result, and therefore, because of that, our relationships are constantly restarting. Pain, process, because God's going, no. Hey, this thing that you so want, it's not gonna function the way you want it to unless you get step 1 under your belt, unless you get step 2 under your belt. I'm more interested in you becoming the right person than finding the right person. I'm more interested in the man and woman that you are than the thing that you think is gonna bring you fulfillment. And I'm gonna work a process. God has a process that builds love in our life. I think it's hard for us to fully understand it because when we, you know, read the word love or say the word love, we only have one word for it. It's this love. Like, I love Chipotle and I also love my wife. Like, that's a big gap, burrito and hottie. Like, that's a big gap. That's a big gap. Like, I do love burritos, but I love my wife in a totally different way. They're not even on the same planet, but we use the same word. We use the same word. And when we read our Bible, the same thing happens to us. We read the word love, and all we see is just the English word love. But that's not actually how the original language context is in the Bible. In the Greek, there's 4 words for love. And these 4 words, I think, are components of love, but not only that, they're components of love that build on top of one another. And if we follow the process, we pick up the right things in our life so that what? When we get to the end result, we actually know how to function in love. We actually know how to walk it out. These 4 words in the Bible give us some more insight into how God has designed love. The first one is storge. It's the word storge in the Greek, and it's family love. It's the love that you have for your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mom and dad. Even if you grew up in a super dysfunctional family, there's like something almost hardwired into us to have a level of love for those that are our blood. Then the next one is phileo or phileia. It's friendship love. It's the love of just enjoying people and getting to know them. It's the person, it's your person. You know, everybody should have a person that they can share with, a person they can laugh with, cry with. It's that friendship love that God wants to develop in us. The third one is agape, which is God's love. I would submit to you that only God can carry that. And God can release it through us, but we need God in order to agape love people, okay? Like we can do storge and we can do friendship, we can do family, but to really love by choice, godly love, we need God's help. And then the last one is eros, which is sexual love. Like God created it. It's not naughty, but there is a process that God wants to take us through between where we are and landing there. And I've put these in order because I believe that this is a process of God building healthy, long-lasting, loving relationships, that it moves critically through this process. See, these types of love build a process that leads to love that lasts. Not just love on the weekend, but love that is eternal, love that is based on something greater than ourselves. And I wanna walk you through each one of these. I wanna look at them, and I think it'll really, really help us have some insight. That first word that we looked at was storge. This is family love, one that is based on blood. Now, I'm an only child, and some of you are like, that explains so much. Do I got any other only child people in here? Tell them, quit hating on us. I mean, that's just what they do. But only children, I have a little bit of a harder time, I think, understanding like brother-sister connection, you know what I mean? And so this one was kind of always like, okay, yeah, I love my mom and dad and I love, you know, some family and friends, but I don't think I really, really got it until I became a Christian. See, I believe this is the simple fact. If we fully understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we now understand that what, you ever heard the term, blood is thicker than water? Well, I'd say the cross is thicker than blood. That when we accepted Jesus into our life, we became sons and daughters of God. That if you have Jesus in your life, you are not just Casey. You are Casey, son of God. That we are a part of a great big family called the family of God, the church of God. And that principle should readjust how we look at others around us. That there should be a family kind of love that is in the house of God. This is how Paul said to Timothy, he is describing what this family love should look like in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, it says this. It says, don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as your brothers, older women as your mothers, and younger women as your sisters with absolute purity. What is this passage of scripture? How do we engage in being healthy? We first have to look at that the people around us, male or female, whoever we're engaging with in a relationship, are not an object to conquer, but a person that is a part of our family that we are to love, honor, and respect. I remember the first time I really began to get this. I was 18 years old, going on 19 when I became saved, and I was a mess before I met Jesus. Like, no frame of reference on how to treat women or how to be in a healthy relationship. My idea was a relationship was whatever feels good, just go with that, and as soon as it doesn't feel good, you're done with that. And that was kind of my MO. Well, then I met Jesus, and Jesus changed everything. Like, I mean, just radically changed everything. And to be real honest with you, I was petrified of relationships because all I had known was my own track record. And I'm like, I'm a nitwit, and I don't want to be that anymore, so I'm just not going to do it. And I remember this little girl that was going to church, a little bit older than me, kind of took a liking to me, and she asked me if I wanted to go get lunch after church. And I was like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm like, oh God, you know, no, I'm scared of you, you know what I mean? Like, and so I finally said yes, and then we went out, and she's like, we'll just drive together. You wanna just drive with me? And all of a sudden, I was like, no! this is a true story. I literally was like, I'm not feeling well, I have to go. And I just walked off, and I never went that direction again. I was so nervous just because I didn't know how to treat the opposite sex like they were God's child. And so I remember then, it was probably 6 months later, I walked into our prayer center and I looked over and there's this beautiful blonde haired girl praying over in the corner. And I was like, oh, that spirituality is so attractive. That's not what happened actually. I looked over there and I was like, that girl is hot. And I looked over there and I said, okay, Jesse, you're a man of God now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and so I was just like, I'm not going to talk to her. I mean, like, this is forgiving me. But I was kind of paying attention. Well, the next day we were doing like an I Love My City project. And we were out, and it's in Tucson, and it's the middle of summer. So it's like 130 degrees outside. And I look over, and there is this girl again. But this time she's got cute little green shorts on. Praise the Lord. And diesel shoes, and she looks so cute. She got this little blonde ponytail, and she's picking up trash. And I'm like, girl, do you realize it's 130 degrees out? We're picking up trash, but you is fine. And so we started talking, and I remember, like, I was watching her, guys, and I wish I was, like, as holy as I wish I could have been, but the whole time, she's picking over trash like this, and hey, y'all are way too holy for me. I just kept on looking, and I'm like, wow, she is so cute. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't being that guy where I was like, oh. And it was a clear as day. God came, like, the Holy Spirit just stood right next to me, and I heard this: you better be careful, that's my daughter. You better be careful, that's my daughter. And I just remember, I started crying in the first service because it's still very, very real to me. And that was God's saying, hey, I know you engaged that way before, ain't gonna fly anymore. Because that's my daughter, and I'll protect her. And so what I need from you, Jesse, is I need you to have my spirit about her and look at her with honor, with integrity, and look at her as a person to be protected, not just pursued. And that starts with you being a person of integrity. That it starts with you being a person who knows how to operate in storge love. And I remember walking away from that going, man, you know, I want to protect her. I want to be honoring to her. Man, that's what I want from my son. We've already had a little conversation coaching up Zion at 2. I said, there is one reason why you can get suspended from school. And it's when you have a sister. If a guy does something to her, you have my permission to flatten him. I don't care what the trouble is, I will bail you out, I will get you out, okay? Your sister will be a princess someday, and we will treat her as such. What would happen to our culture if both male and female begin to have that view of people rather than something to flirt with or something to conquer? It was something to honor and to protect. I think we might find love lasting a little bit longer than the weekend. See, impossible to lead with eros in your life if that's your perspective. The natural progression is, if I'm looking at you with honor and respect, I'm more interested in friendship than I am, use your imagination. I'm more interested in getting to know you and who you are and letting you get to know who I am in a friendship. And that's what, listen, storge love, here's the reality. Storge love leads to always protecting and does not dishonor. Like, when we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where does love is patient, love is kind? It's actually several different options. When it gets to love does not dishonor others, love always protects. The word that's actually being used is storge love. So you got to determine in your heart, are you going to be that person? Are you going to be that kind of man, that kind of woman who goes, you know what? I'm here to honor. I'm here to protect. And that starts with me on the inside being the right kind of person and the right kind of woman and the right kind of man. Because then the natural progression, like I said, is to go into phileo love, which is the friendship love, one that is based on the enjoyment of people. So let me talk to you for a minute about what real friendship looks like. Real friendship is about sharing your life with somebody, the inconsistencies and the consistencies, without this high demand to receive something in return. Like I love my friends, but I'll be really honest with you. I never went up to one of my bro friends and I just, bro, you're not meeting my emotional tank. You know what I mean? I just don't feel like I'm receiving appropriately from you. No, it was just like, dude, I just need somebody to talk to. How's things going with you? How's things going with me? And as we begin to exchange our life one to another, I pretty much could tell how my bro friends were doing before they told me. Because we knew each other. We knew what each other's was about. And we knew how things were put together. But I would say this, friendship goes even another step further when your friendship has Jesus in the center of it. So 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42, David and Jonathan. There's some of the greatest pictures of friends in the Bible. Jonathan said, "Go in peace. The two of us have vowed friendship in God's name, saying, God will be the what? Bond between me and you and between my children and your children forever." What is he saying? Hey, me and you are gonna be friends. We're gonna be the kind of friends that God bonds together. That God bonds together, not my ability to flirt and woo. Not my ability to lead with promises and then unmeet them. Not my ability to use my tongue to lead somebody where they want, you know, they're not even sure if they want to go. No, it's simple. It's simple. I'm going to walk with you and we're going to let God be the glue between us. When you're down, I'm going to be your encourager. When I'm down, you'll be my encourager. And you know what? We're going to put God first in our relationship. We're going to challenge one another. Hey, how's your prayer life? How's things going with God? What's God been saying to you? I'm going to have a friendship that God's in the middle of. What would happen to our dating relationship? What would happen to our marriages if we brought some storge back? A little bit of honor, a little bit of respect. What would happen for some of our marriages if we just brought genuine, authentic friendship? Laughter, getting to know one another, supporting one another, being friends. Being friends. Guys, girls in here, I'm gonna speak to both genders here for a moment. This is somewhat for our single people in here or dating people. Okay, can I be a pastor, a little sting here or there for just a minute? Okay, girls, if he doesn't have good guy friends and he doesn't treat them with honor and respect and he's not an encourager to them, he doesn't build them up, what makes you think that he may be for a season, but the fruit of relationships is the fruit of relationships. So I wanna date a guy, not me particularly, but you should. Date a guy who what? He's got good bros in his life, that he's learned how to build Jesus in the middle of those, and he knows how to function in those before he starts trying to lead you. Before he starts, ladies, or my guys in here, for our ladies. I just don't like to hang out with girls. Girls are drama. Can I be a little offensive? It may be your drama. Ah, pastor, ow. Back to the Bible. All right, here we go. Guys, if you can't learn how to function in healthy relationships on a friendship level with other people, dating is gonna only amplify your selfishness and your ability to make things about you and to not know how to forgive and love. So you know what, guys in here, man, make sure she's got some good friends in her life, some good girlfriends, because the fruit of her good girlfriends, that's soon gonna be the fruit that you have to deal with in your relationships. And you gotta build friendships in our life. I think if we looked at it like this, here's what I would say. This is how God loved us, that friendship turned into agape. And I want to explain this to you. Agape love, it's godly love, one that is based on choice. It's not based on a person's merit. It's not based on a person's deserving or that, you know, I made a list when I was 15. He will be, you know, a handsome young lad with wavy hair, about 6'3" and a half, firm build, nice buttocks. You know, he meets all of those, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, of course I choose to love. No, I'm not talking about that kind of, that's like. I'm talking about the way God loves us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, this is what, but God demonstrated. Do you want to know what this agape love looks like? God love? He demonstrated it by his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? God knew the full package he was getting when he chose you. He knew every sin. He knew every problem. He knew every insecurity, every fear, every mistake, and he still chose you. He knew exactly what he was getting into. He knew exactly what he was pursuing. He knew exactly. You know what the problem is? This is how we do quote unquote agape in our culture. We hide everything during friendship phase. Then we cross over into marriage phase and we realize, poop, poop. The other person is going, I didn't sign up for that. Because really you didn't go through friendship phase. You sprinted through it to try to cross the finish line and you skipped some things along the process. Listen to me, do your homework, ladies. Do your homework, men. Know what you're getting. And then that way, when you choose it, you can choose it with the inconsistencies, with the mistakes, with the failures. Because I just don't want to burst somebody's bubble here. If you think you're going to marry somebody who doesn't have issues, you will never get married. Ever. Ever. Your spouse will have a plethora of issues, a plethora of things that you have to choose to love despite themselves. And you're gonna need God's help. But man, I wanna know what I'm choosing to love. That's why the friendship phase is so important. Then when we move into agape, see, agape loves, it really grows the giver and the receiver. See, notice the progression here of how God works on people. Hey, be a person of integrity, build a great friendship, find somebody you can choose, and then when you choose, there's gonna be things in that relationship that you have to forgive, let go of, choose to love anyway, support, encourage. Who does that change? Changes me. Just as much as the other person in the relationship. See, real agape love is God helping us see a mirror into ourself, going, man, if somebody needs to change, it's gonna be me, because I'm gonna give it away, because I chose this. I committed to this. See, here's what I want you to understand today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, it says this about Jesus. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, but he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne room of grace. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. See, God wants you to put you in a place where you've honored, you've made great friendships, and now you are choosing to love each other despite whether the other person deserves it. Because why? God understands exactly what you're going through. In fact, he loves me that way every single day. So we have an advocate in heaven who knows what's going on in your marriage right now. He understands it, and he wants to help you. What? Love like he loves. To forgive like he gives. See, it's without God, man. I'm telling you, agape love, everlasting love, love that lasts beyond the weekend. It's impossible. But when we understand that we've been first loved this way, we have like the greatest model, the greatest resource to run to find answers. And then finally, it's eros, sexual love. You know why I think God puts agape love right here? It's supposed to be this great barrier. Because the way God has designed sexual love, it can be the greatest blessing or the greatest curse to our soul. The devil really understands this way better than we do. Just look at, if you look at problems around our world, sex trafficking, where there's, you know, genocide going on, where there's evil across the world, you will find steeped in the middle of that sexual abuse, sexual perversion, sexual just abuse across the board. Because why? The devil knows if he can get there, he can wound and fracture a soul like never before. So God sets up this process and he's going, hey, sex is awesome. And I want you someday for it to be the great thing that glues your soul together with your spouse and keeps you coming back together. I want it to be fruitful. I want it to be an awesome experience. But hey, if you blow through the process, you're gonna, this is gonna harm. It's not gonna help. Because if I can just be honest with the guys, girls in here, you don't wanna open up your soul and your spirit to somebody that's not committed to loving you beyond what you deserve. You don't want to do it with somebody who's not your very best friend. And you definitely don't want to do it with somebody who doesn't have enough honor and respect to wait. I know it's not real popular in our society today. It's not like people are like, yeah, sign me up. But friends, I'm telling you, if you can just trust the process, the end result will be everything that you imagine. It will be love beyond the weekend. It will be love, for there is three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I wanna conclude with this little story of me and Angela. I've been kind of weaving it in through this whole thing. But like I said, when we met, I didn't have a clue how to do this right. So I was scared, and God is so good. He's so gracious. I think God knew exactly what I needed. He knew I needed to learn how to unwire the way I had been modeled and taught by friends, by different people, on how to engage in relationships. You know what my MO was? Oh yeah, Eros. That's kind of ugly. I don't really like that. Why do you act like that? I don't know if we can be friends anymore. All right. That was, if I can be honest, that was my MO. So I was really scared. I was really nervous to get into this thing. And God brought me this amazing woman named Angela. And she lived 1,500 miles away at the time, which I thought was awful. But it was the best possible thing that could have ever happened to our relationship. You know why? Because I had one choice: to honor her and respect her. Number two, that was there. God dealt with me on that. We're good to go. The only thing I had left was friendship. Can't make out over the phone. We tried. It doesn't work. I kid. You're like, oh, no. All we could do was talk. I knew everything about this girl before I held her hand. I knew all of the past stuff that's went on in her world. I knew the ups and downs. And we never were like, my soul longs for you. You are the lover of my life. You know, we didn't go all there. We just got to know each other. We just talked. I didn't make any crazy promises or these kind of crazy things like, you complete me, Rapunzel, let down your hair and I will climb up and come. You know, like none of those crazy fairy tale kind of things. We just built a friendship. And I remember finally we started to realize like, hey, this thing's getting real serious. Like we both knew, we had never stated like, you know, like, will you be my girlfriend? Will you be my boyfriend? We just knew like, I can't imagine my life without this person. Like we talk all the time, and she came down to visit and we were in Arizona. And this is the first time I stated my full on intentions, and I was a little slow. Okay guys, you don't have to move this slow. Okay, this is a little slower, but 8 months of talking. And I grabbed her hand. I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And I looked at her, I said, I love you. And she goes, yeah, I love you too. I said, okay, we're good. All right, just wanted to make sure we were on the same page, you know? And we ended up moving and being around each other. We got married really quickly after that. And you know what I found is that when I stood across from her, I knew when she was saying yes to me in marriage, and when I was saying yes to her, she wasn't saying yes to my Instagram Jesse or my presented Jesse. She knew all my mistakes, all my failures, and when she looked at me and said, I choose you till death do us part. Friends, I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like somebody knowing you completely, your mistakes, your failures, and your weaknesses, and overlooking them and going, I choose you anyway. That's how God loves us. It's what changes us from the inside out. See, marriage is this beautiful reflection of our relationship with God. And that's what God wants for your life. God wants you to wind up, and then, you know, we got married, and then Eros, praise God. It was awesome. You know why it was awesome? I got real vulnerable in first service, so I'm gonna do it again. You know why it was awesome? It was the first time in my life I had been in a relationship like that where God was there. And that may freak somebody out in here. That's like, this is a little weird, dude. You know what I mean? But I could sense God's presence in our relationship. And guys, I'm telling you what, that's a relationship that will last forever, because why? A triple corded strand isn't easily broken. Me and my wife and God at the center, man, there's nothing better than living a life that way. This is God's design. This is God's plan A. This is a love that lasts beyond the weekend. This is a love forevermore. And that's what God wants over your life. Why don't you stand to our feet all over this place?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.